We thank you for your word. And Father, we pray this morning that we would hear you speak to us through the Gospel of Mark. And Father, we ask that you would transform us. We thank you for this week that we have to reflect on your death and resurrection. And we pray that you would change our hearts and minds in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what I'm going to do is just concentrate our time on the beginning of chapter 14. So if you want to just flick back two pages, beginning of chapter 14, the first 11 verses, where the woman comes in with the expensive perfume. And as you read that, you may have thought to yourself, oh, I see what's happening there. Here is a picture of a woman who kind of explores a principle for us. If you value Jesus, then he will honor you. If you look at what she does, she comes into the room. She has this expensive bottle of perfume that she gives to Jesus, values him. And then he says to her, you will be remembered for all time throughout the world. You will be honored. And it seems as if Jesus is kind of saying, if you bring something worthy to me, I will bless you. If you value Jesus, he will honor you. But there's a problem. We can't truly value Jesus. I mean, let's have a little bit of a think about what can we give him that is worthy of him. Think of the time, treasure, talent that you have, the person that you are. What can you possibly give Jesus to value him? I'm a minister of a church here. I think about the things I've given to Jesus. I spent 4 years at a Bible college and I raised up a huge hex debt. I'm preaching here this morning. I'm going to be very busy tomorrow. I'm going to a nursing home to preach again. I'll do something on Good Friday, again on Easter Sunday. I just want to tell you that to make me feel good. And you feel bad. Surely Jesus would honor me, wouldn't he? He would bless me. He must answer all of my prayers, surely. But it's not the case. He must bless me with so many things, but I don't feel blessed when I look around at other people. And if I look around at other people, I start to feel a little bit bitter. Why is God blessing them when I'm busy? I'm stressing out. Everyone else has a 4-day weekend coming up, and I'm going to be flat out at Easter. But then other people, you might be thinking, well, when you talk about that, man, it makes me feel quite burdened. It makes me feel as if I don't have anything to offer compared with you. I don't know that I can give anything to Jesus. I just feel guilty. I look around at others and I feel guilty. I feel worthless. How can I honor Jesus? You're right. And I did the same thing. I look around at our missionaries come last week. Incredible. They took their family all the way to Mexico. They're going to be there 10, 20, 30 years. Ministering away on the other side of the world. Compared to them, I start to feel guilty, burdened. How can I give anything of value to Jesus? So what is going on with this encounter with this woman? Well, luckily Jesus tells us. He explains to us the meaning of what the woman did. But first, I just want to give us a little bit of context for those 12 verses. Just have this in your mind. This is the kind of structure that Jesus is experiencing. First few verses, he's experiencing incredible hate. And the last couple of verses, again, incredible hate. But in the middle is this moment, just a small moment where this woman brings deep love for him. Hate, love, and hate. So if you just look at verses 1 and 2, it's a picture of hate against Jesus Christ. Verse 1, now the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread were only 2 days away. And the chief priests and the teachers of the law were scheming to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the festival, they said, or the people may riot. The religious leaders, these are God's people, they want him killed. They want him destroyed. They want to do it in secret to wipe him out. They understand, though, we can't really do it in the next 1 or 2 days because the people who are following him like him, and they'll riot if we try and arrest and kill him. But Jesus is experiencing their hate. If you flick down a little bit to verse 10, one of his followers, Judas, betrays him. Perhaps he's sick of the things that Jesus has been saying and doing, but in verse 10, Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted to hear this and promised to give him money. So he watched for an opportunity to hand him over. The chief priests, they're really delighted. Well, we've got an insider here, someone who hates him as much as us, and he'll let us know when they're alone, when we can come in secretly and arrest him. And the irony is they know they can't do it during the festival when everyone's there and they like Jesus, but they end up, with Judas' help, being able to do it. They arrest him during the Passover. He is arrested and he is killed. And so Jesus is heading into this darkness, this overwhelming darkness of his death, which is about to occur in the next few days. And if you remember, there's that reading where he's praying just after this, and he says, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." And then we see this woman enters into the room, and she does something incredibly loving for Jesus. Verse 3. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, who could have been somebody that Jesus has healed, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, made of pure nard. She broke the jar, poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," Jesus said. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want, but you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Truly I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Jesus is there reclining. He's eating with his friend. A group of friends. The disciples are there also. The woman comes in. She's gripping tightly, very expensive perfume, in a pottery jar, and it's sealed. And she walks up and she breaks it. She cracks it open and pours this expensive perfume on his head. More than a year's wages. Imagine holding average medium income in Avalon, $96,000. She's holding perfume worth more than $100,000. And she carries it, goes into the room, sees Jesus. She breaks the top of it and pours it over his head, anoints him, gives it to him, values him, honors him. Incredible, beautiful act. She gives him something precious, something extravagant. And he explains it. He says, and you know, it's kind of righteous indignation. Everyone's going, "Oh, look, well, what a waste of money. We could give it to the poor. It's a good thing to do." And Jesus says it's a good thing to do. And the poor end, but he says, "Yes, it is on God's heart. The poor are on God's heart." Absolutely. Look at the Old Testament. Look at Jesus' own preaching. The poor are on God's heart. We're saying the heart of what God is doing involves me going to the cross for you. And she's preparing me. She's preparing me to die for you. What's the profound element of burial? Yeah, you put perfume on so a body doesn't stink when it's in the tomb. But as he speaks about the burial, he's saying, well, I'm going to die. I'll be buried. But after I'm buried, I'm going to rise again. And this is the good news. This is the gospel. This is the kingdom that is coming. What God's chosen king that Mark talks about in chapter 1 is here. And king has come to die for us. He says, "I am here." And the picture that we have of the woman, what she gives to Jesus, it's an incredibly extravagant act of love that she pours all that out on Jesus. But Jesus is in Jerusalem to perform the most extravagant act of love that humans will ever see. He's going to die on the cross for our sins. He's going to die for us so our sins are forgiven. So we are washed clean. So we are reconciled through him, through his death, to his Father. Have you thought about the fact that Jesus values us so much that he's willing to die for us? Each and every one of us sitting here, the whole world, in fact, it says. Jesus died on the cross for us. So if you're someone who's thinking, well, I do give a lot to Jesus. I am quite, I'm puffed up a little bit. I'm quite busy this week. I give money and I do things. And if I think of the time and treasure and talent that I do give, he should be pretty pleased with me. He's not. You're a dirty, rotten sinner. So bad, in fact, he had to die for you. So incredibly sinful that his blood, the blood of God himself, is the only thing that can wash us clean. It's incredibly humbling to realize that Jesus had to die on the cross for us. And we can't pay him back. You can't earn the blessing and the honor of God. You can't pay back the death of God in any way. You can't think of yourself too highly. It really humbles us. And yet again, Jesus died on the cross for us. Each and every one of us, as broken and as burdened as we are, even those who think, I've got nothing to give to Jesus. I've got no way to serve him, to honor him, to work. I just feel guilty and burdened. He died for you. He wants you in his family. You are washed clean. You can stand in the presence of God. Don't think of yourself too lowly. Don't think of yourself too highly. But God's chosen king valued you so much, valued the world so much that he came to die, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. It's not what we can do, it's what he's done. And because of that, if you understand that, if you trust that, you are then able to value Jesus, knowing he will honor you. You are able to, it's an incredible investment knowing that if you trust him and follow him and worship him, you will be with him in paradise forever. That is fixed. That is assured. He rose from the dead. He broke the chains of sin and of death. And it is an assurance that we will rise from death as well. And we will be with him in paradise forever. You can't lose that. And if you know that, whatever you give to Jesus is a pretty good investment. Whatever you give of yourself, of your time, of your treasure, of your talent, however you value Jesus, he will honor you. But not just in the next life, in the eternal life to come. He will honor you now. If you give up your family to follow Jesus, and this is a reality for some of our refugee friends who are Muslim, if they turn away, as Jesus said, repent and believe. Turn away and follow me. Turn and trust. Their families will disown them. But Jesus promises that you will be given other family members. He's talking about us. He says, my people, the church, will be your family if you give up family to follow me. It's a pretty good investment. Value Jesus, he will honor you. What does it mean to value? It means to care. It means to hold on to something precious. Is that what Jesus is like for you? You might just be someone who's, well, I'm just looking. I don't really know this Jesus fella very much. I'm just here. I'm just looking. You might have been at church for a while. You say, well, he's all right. But what Jesus says is value me with everything, with all that you have and all that you are. It's really, really unbalanced to be a Christian. It's incredibly unbalanced to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's really unbalanced to follow the king in God's kingdom. It's not the leftover bits that we give him. It's not the spare time. It's the first and the best and the greatest. It's being extravagant and sacrificial and putting him above everything. And yet he promised if we value him, he will honor us. In fact, he has already honored us. Saved us, rescued us, brought us into his family, given us the promise of being with him in heaven forever. Our response is just one of thanks. Like, I think Simon the leper who had him for a meal, like the woman who gave that precious, beautiful gift of deep love. It's the same for us. We respond in thankfulness. And you might be thinking, oh, that's really, I'm not in the position, the capacity to give $100,000. You might be. But remember just a few chapters earlier when Jesus talks about a widow and he makes the point to his disciples. He points her out there in the temple. He says, look at that widow. She's just put two copper coins in. That is everything she owns. She has given that to God. The others, they've given out of their wealth with their gold coins. But that woman has given to God, trusting Him, trusting in His promise. Incredibly unbalanced what she has done this way, given everything that she had. And Jesus honors that widow, and He honors the woman who comes in just before His death as well, with that precious, extravagant gift of love. It's really challenging for us. I think about the things that I cling onto. I mean, I see that image of the... If you're holding that precious bottle of perfume, you wouldn't want to trip and fall. But the things that we hold onto, it must have been maybe in the family for a while. It was something very precious that she had given. There are things that we hold onto and we grip tightly. And money is one of those things. I talk about your talent and your time and how you love others, but money is all the way through this. When you see particularly how the woman, what she contrasted, how she saw Jesus more than a year's wages. And Judas was willing to give Him up 30 pieces of silver. That's how much he valued Jesus. That's his life for me, 30 pieces of silver. We hold on to it. I find myself clinging. I hold on to money pretty tightly. Beginning of this year, Amy, my wife, and I, we were thinking and we were planning through this year, and we're writing down some plans. And one of our plans was, are we going to stay in Avalon? Yes, we are. I want to make that clear. We're going to stay. We've been here 4 years. We're just the tip of the surface. We'll get presbytered. That's just the next part of the system, step two. We're going to stay here a long, long time. Other thing is, what are we going to do with our money? So let's work it out. What can we save some money, and how much can we hold on to, and how... I'd like to have a deposit on a house one time. I've got to think long term. The kids are at school. There might be fees in high school and everything. I'm gripping tight. I realize in my heart, gripping so tightly to that money. And then an opportunity came through a friend of ours. A friend called Peter, who Amy particularly was really, really good friends with. And he passed away. But before he did, there was a Facebook page that was set up for him. And he would just talk about the operation and the sickness and what was happening. And then after he died, it was a really kind of beautiful, I guess, memorial to him. And people would put photos of their time working with him in Nepal and teaching with him and the schools they've been part of and their greatest memories and photos. And that was great as well. Then about a year later, because he had such a heart for mission in Nepal, where he'd been many, many times over many years, he had set up a way to kind of sponsor an orphanage. And sponsors some students, and there's a school where they can study there in the orphanage. And there was a few opportunities, and it was a really beautiful idea in memory of Pete, working with a local Nepali there. And you could sponsor a student, or you could help sponsor the orphanage. And as I was thinking and I was processing, I thought, oh, well, if you just sponsor a student, that's not much. You can just give. Oh, I'll do that. I'll make sure I'll do that in a couple of weeks. I'll email to make sure I do it. Email came back and said, oh, are you still thinking of doing it? You'd like to sponsor one of our children? And I realized I'm gripping tightly to my money. I'm really holding onto it. Sponsor one of the kids, and I want to sponsor the orphanage as well. How am I going to put this big amount of money? I said, hit send. And that was the greatest thing ever. It sounds funny, but that was an act of worship for me. That was a way in which these guys who had set up this beautiful memorial to Pete to do incredible work of blessing these orphans in the name of Jesus Christ. I could worship Jesus. And it freaked me up. I said, thank you. Thank you. I felt honored and blessed. But mostly I want Jesus to be valued. That's what it was. I wanted to care for Him, for the precious gift that He has given me, the gift of grace. He has saved me and He has rescued me. That's what we celebrate at Easter time. When the government gives us 2 days off work, when we've got a week to prepare our hearts and a few services on Thursday and Friday, prepare our hearts and our minds to value Him, knowing that He has already honored us, saved us, and rescued us. Let me pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank You for the most incredible, precious gift, which was the life of Your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank You, Father, that He was so careful in teaching and sharing and showing what that meant to His disciples, to those around Him, and Father, to us. That even He knew, He knew, Father, that this would be recorded down for us. And we would gather years later on the other side of the world, and this woman would be honored as we speak and preach and proclaim and talk and reflect on the death and resurrection. As we think about your burial, as we think about the hope and the life and the freedom that we are given through that. And Father, whoever we are, whatever we have, may we have the strength and the boldness and the thankfulness and the joy to honor you, to value you, to worship you. Show us and point us in the right direction. How you would have us do that. And Father, may we not cling tightly to the things which you have given us anyway, but give them to you. Give them for your glory. Give them for the expansion of your incredible kingdom. And may it continue to go out throughout the whole world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.